are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
How many of you are feeling a little after turkey tiredness this morning? Admit it. Is it just me? All right, yeah. Whew. It has been something. You should have seen the first crowd. They were like, ah, come on, try to bless me. So, all right, turn in your Bibles. We have to do a lot in a little amount of time. Acts 19 and verse 18, we're going to start. If you don't have a Bible, there's one of the blue ones in the seat backs around somewhere. Grab that before your neighbor does. That's our gift to you. That's your Bible. Put your name in it. On that Bible, it's page 1028, all right? 1028. And we're going to jump into it, okay? So Acts 19, if you're there, say I'm there. You're there? All right. Let me get my Bible. Thank you, gang. You won't believe how much is running around back, things that are happening here. These folks, give them a hand there. All of the, and the people in the booth, you never think of them unless things screw up. Look back there, wave at them, and applaud for them. Yay. All right, we're going to set the context here and pick it up in verse 18. I know it's restating some of the stuff we looked at last week, a couple of verses, but you remember if you were here, there was these seven sons of this Jewish priest named Siva, and they went around casting out demons, or so they said. They were really kind of some hucksters, and then they tried to cast out some demons. They saw what Paul was doing. They said, oh, we'll use the name of Jesus, and it didn't turn out so good, remember? What did they get? They got beat up and busted down, and the demon-possessed man ripped all their clothes off, so they ran off naked. It just totally shocks the town here, really city of Ephesus. So we pick it up in verse number 18. All right. The name of Jesus was extolled. That's verse 17. Also, many of those who were now, what's that next word?
Believers.
Thank you. Many who were now, what? What's the next word?
Believers.
Believers came. All right, so Christians came, confessing and divulging their practices. They've been doing some bad stuff. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them, found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Many scholars think that's over $1 million, couple mil. And so the word of the Lord, here's the end result, continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he's ready to do like the next leg of the missionary journey. And he wants to ultimately get to Rome with the gospel. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. So he stays there in that real, you know, occult town of Ephesus for a bit more. Sends his workers ahead of him. About this time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. That's what they called Christians early on. For a man named Demetrius, what was his name?
Demetrius.
Don't name your children that. A silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis. All right, she was the false goddess. Brought no little business to the craftsmen. They were building all these little shrines, selling them, saying, hey, this will help you get your prayers answered. These he gathered together. So he gathers together all these people that make money on this trade with the workmen of similar trades and says, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. Now off to the side of the margin, I put a dollar sign whenever it talks about money. All right, just to help me to kind of track. We've made our business. We have our wealth from this. And you see and hear not only in Ephesus, but also almost all of Asia, this Paul, he probably spit two, has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands aren't gods. Oh, the horrors. And there's a danger not only of this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also, I put another dollar sign, that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and she may even be deposed from her magnificence, for she whom all Asia and the world worships. When they heard this out, they were enraged. Oh, no. And they were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with the confusion. I underlined those words. And they rushed together into the theater, seated about 24,000 people there, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, he was going to go, hey, man. The disciples would not let him, and even some of the Asiarchs, those are the muckety-mucks of town, who were friends of his, sent to him and were encouraging him, urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together, which is most riots. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hands, wanted to make a defense to the crowd, but when they recognized he was a Jew, for about 2 hours, they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." How long did they holler this? 2 hours. Oh, my goodness. And when the town clerk, really kind of the mayor, had quieted the crowd, he goes, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet. Do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here. They're neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius, dude, and his craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open. There are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it'll be settled in the regular assembly. For we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he said these things, he dismissed the assembly. In the margin, I wrote, "Wise politician!" Exclamation mark, because there are so few of them. But he was. We're looking today in this passage of Acts at revivals and riots. Changed churches change cultures. Revivals and riots. What does it take to change the culture? Change churches. And we get prayer requests in, and you ought to if you have. Well, and you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And the more people you get asking who know how to get in touch with God, the better it is. Yeah. So we get prayer requests in for those of you that take advantage of that. And sometimes a recurring theme from quite a few of you is, you know, man, pray for revival. Pray for revival of our nation. And that's a good, I'm not knocking it at all. I pray for that weekly. Great thing to pray for, but a lot of people are confused about what revival really is. Back in the day when I was a young man, we had just left here. I was in the Navy, got out of the Navy, called to preach. And so had a little Johnny. He was probably 6 months old by this time. We went to college out in Springfield, Missouri. And we're out there. And my first course, one of my first courses was this course called song leading. Every wannabe pastor had to know how to lead singing because you would probably do a lot of it if you pastored a little church. And you had to, you know, it was all hymn stuff, you know, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoice." How many remember that song? Huh? All right, yeah. So I took the course, and then one day the teacher said, "Hey, guys, anybody interested? There's a revival going out in Monette." Monette was 50 miles away. Revival going out there, big tent meeting. They want to plant a church, and who would like to go? And they're going to give you a love offering, like $25. But and I saw my hand go up. You know, here's experience and all. I know how to do this and know how to do this. And you know, I can sing a little bit. So we packed up the old little Sunbird, and me and Robin and Johnny every night drove 50 miles out there and led singing. And they had this old tent. How many of you have been in a tent revival? Come on. Been in a tent revival? Yeah. You need to experience it. You know, big tent, open air, sawdust down the aisle, you know, and the preaching goes on forever. And so I did that. Night one, the preacher's up there. "All right, come down, trust Jesus. Come down, trust Jesus." Nobody came down. Night two, nobody came down. Night three, I led my guts out. He preached his guts out. Nobody came down. Night four, nobody came down. Last night, we're praying. Oh, God, blah, blah, blah. One dude came down. We're like, oh, it's not a waste. Praise Jesus. They call it a revival. That's not really a revival. All right? Now, not to speak ill of it, that's not a revival, because I don't believe real biblical revival doesn't just win people to Jesus, it shakes communities. That's what it does. As far as I know, that little town of Monette, Missouri, population about 10,000, was never really, really changed after that meeting. What are you saying, John? John Piper says it better than I do, so I'll let him say it. In the history of the church, the term revival, in its most biblical sense, has meant a sovereign work of God. What kind of work of God? Sovereign work of God, in which the whole region of many churches, many Christians, has been lifted out of a spiritual indifference and worldliness into conviction of sin, earnest desire for more of Christ and his word, boldness in witness, purity in life, lots of conversions, joyful worship, renewed commitment to what? Missions. You feel that God has moved here. And basically, revival then is God doing among many Christians at the same time or in the same region, usually what he's doing all the time in individual Christian lives as people get saved and individually renewed around the world. That's a good definition of revival. Biblical, scriptural, spiritual revival. John, why don't we have scheduled? I've been here for years and I always wondered why we don't have the fall revival meeting or the spring revival week. Here's why. You know, Piper just laid it out. And Bible truth. Let me say it this way. Real biblical revival cannot be scheduled by us. It can only be calendared by God. It can only be calendared. It's a movement of the Spirit of God. So are you saying we shouldn't pray for revival? No, no, no. Pray. You have not because you ask not. Pray. I pray. I pray for revival. God, revive. I mean, but it can't be scheduled by us. We can schedule speakers and singers and meetings. We cannot schedule a biblical movement of God's Holy Spirit. That is his alone. But we desperately need it. Amen. We need it. Our families need it. Some of you here, your families are blown up and you need a movement of God. Our church needs it. Our country greatly needs it. Amen. And by the way, I hope I'm not being presumptuous here, but it seems that Point Harbor may be on the cusp of a planned, spirit-driven revival. Amen. All those people getting baptized, God doing amazing things. One of them got baptized. I preached last week, and he was just in it, you know, just emotionally. He tried to talk to me, couldn't, out in the foyer, and we set up a meeting on Monday night, and he trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You got baptized today, amen? Amen. And we're having different things like that happen. God, so is that a revival? I don't know. Maybe not yet, but I want God to do it. I want to be in the midst of a spirit-driven, not a John-driven revival. So how will you know if it's a spirit-driven, spirit-led revival? 3 points from this passage. How many points? Three. Note takers, take note. When God sends revival, number one, it starts with us. It starts, he starts with us. In verse 18 of chapter 19, and many of those who were now, what's that next word? Believers. Y'all aren't very talkative today, are you? Let's try it again. Also, many who were now believers came and confessing and divulging their practices. So believers came and they were confessing and divulging their practices. All right, when you confess and divulge your practice, that means your practice wasn't that good, right? And they came confessing in front of everybody. And the number of those who had practiced magic arts, these are Christians who had been practicing magic arts, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them, found them, came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Some people think millions of dollars worth of magic incantation books, handwritten scrolls. We used to think revival was when people without Jesus came inside the church. That's what we would pray for. That's what we work for. Get your friends in, and then we'll have revival, and then they'll give you an invitation. They'll come down and trust Jesus. You know, that's not necessarily revival. That should be every week, all the time, Christianity. You inviting your friends to come and hear the gospel. When God sends revival, it starts with us Christians, because many of these believers had been secretly keeping their magic scrolls hidden away in their closets, even after they trusted Christ. Like some of you, you have a magic scroll or something that is satanic or satanically tinged or suspect hidden away. You think, you know, but now they were convicted of their sins and they decided to have a scroll burning party. Last week when I talked about this, one of our ladies on staff, she said, she's the one that told me, she said, Pastor John, this message, wow, because there are folks I know in this church, decent amount of them, who have Ouija boards. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, it kind of shocked me, and not much shocks me anymore. Oh, that's just, those are things that are just satanically connected. Those of you folks, you need to get rid of those things. Burn them. Don't sell them on eBay. All right? But she said, you know what we ought to do, Pastor John? We ought to, the people would come to me and tell me, we ought to have them bring it and we could burn them out in the parking lot. And I'm like, maybe we won't do that. Channel News 10, tape it 11. so they would be taken wrong. But they did. What was the result? What was the result? So the word of the Lord continued to do what? And he put the soul, because they obeyed, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily in that church, in that area, in those people's families' lives. I'd call that revival. You say, well, John, you know, thank God we don't really have much of that stuff. We might have the occasional Ouija board, but we don't have much of that stuff in the good old USA, you know, idol worship and stuff like that. Folks, we're the country that had the long-running popular TV show called American Idol. Oh, well, that's, oh, please. Oh, you're getting silly now. Nobody really worships them, these singers. Nobody worships a singer. Ever met a Swiftie? Let's take it further. All right, hang on. We're going a different direction. Same basic, but different lane. You Catholics, don't raise your hands. Or you ex-Catholics. All right, you know who you are, and I love you. I love you. Some of you still got a little St. Christopher on the dashboard of your car? Huh? John, that's nothing. It's just my little luck charm keep me from getting killed in traffic. Exodus. You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or that's in the water underneath the earth. You should not bow to them or serve them or pray through them. For I, the Lord your God, am a what? Oh, I'm a jealous God. Revival in the Old Testament and the New Testament was very often, typically, usually accompanied with getting rid of images, idols, little things that we thought helped connect us to God. Isaiah says it this way, your own ears will hear him. This is the way you should go. This is my will. Then you will destroy all your silver idols, your precious gold images. You will throw them out as filthy rags. Say to them, good riddance. Then the Lord will bless you. You want to be blessed of God? Some of you keeping that stuff around, that crap around, you need to get rid of them. Some of you have many shrines in your home to the Virgin Mary. Still, well, John, I don't worship it. It just helps me to feel close to God. That's dangerous territory. News bulletin, you're not supposed to pray to Mary or any so-called saint. Mary does not, and the idea that if I understand it with many folks is that Mary kind of, she's the mother of Jesus, and Jesus ain't going to answer your prayer because he's kind of in a bad mood that day. You can talk to Mary, and Mary tells, come on, son. Bertha has been a nice girl. She's been a good Catholic. So you need to answer, okay, Mom. That's heresy. That is heresy. Mary is not to be prayed to. That's in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, you only have one intercessor. Since then, we have a great high priest. Who's the great high priest who's entered the heavens? His name would be Jesus. A high priest was one who stood between God and man, the God-man. All fully God and yet fully man, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. He's been tempted just like we, yet he didn't sin. So let us come, how, meekly and wimply? Say it louder, say it boldly. Thank you, to the throne of our gracious God. There at the throne we will receive his mercy and we will find grace. See, some of you pray to saints, you talk to saints or whatever, you think that they've got some grace that they dispense. They do not. They were sinners. Mary was a sinner who needed to be saved by the blood of her son. She was a sinner. And by the way, she wasn't a perpetual virgin. She was a virgin when she conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But after that, she and Joseph got together and they had other kids the old-fashioned way. All right? It's true. You might not like it, but it's true. But Harry, you want an intercessor? You don't need Mary. I'm not trying to down Mary. Praise God for Mary. There's some good things said about Mary. Woo! Mary, awesome. Most of you girls, if an angel showed up at your house when you were 16 and said, hey, you're going to have a kid. Well, I don't even know a man. It doesn't matter. You'd have gone for therapy. Not Mary. She's just like, all right, tell me where to sign. So, it's not just for Catholics, though, or ex-Catholics. All right, get y'all off the hook a little bit. I've seen it in you evangelicals. Well, hopefully not you, but a Passion Conference. Somebody showed me a video a few years ago of a Passion Conference. We send our young people, 20-somethings, to the Passion Conference. They're going like next month. And they had, at least in this one Passion Conference, they had a time when the cross was being carried in, not by somebody that looked like Jesus, but just a dude. The cross is being carried in. It's a big honking cross, and they got the music going, the bands are playing, and everything. Oh, everybody's woo! And people, all these 20-somethings are all gathered around the cross, and they're hugging onto it, and they're embracing it, kissing it. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? That's unacceptable. You're not to worship the cross. Some of you with crosses right now, you're like tucking inside your t-shirt. But you're not supposed to be. That's we're not to worship the cross, but the Jesus who was on the cross and is not there anymore. Amen. And the resurrected Jesus, not some image of Jesus, only Jesus. Well, John, these things are just symbols. They're really worship aids, which can become an icon. You know what an icon is? Well, it's on my computer. Oh, no, I'm talking about the real icon. Collins Dictionary, all right? This is secular, but it's a pretty good definition. In certain religions, statues of religious figures are referred to as icons because they are prayed to as if they were the thing they represent. So don't do it. Don't do it. Icons very easily become idols. Well, John, then, can I make the sign of the cross? Back to you Catholics. Am I doing it right? Tom, am I doing it right? All right. If you think it's going to help you, it's going to add grace, it's going to make you make that basket better. All the Catholic guys on basketball teams used to do that when I was playing. They would go, got the free throw. And then sometimes they miss, and I'm like, where's your God? Where was Jesus there? How about my picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in my bedroom? And dude, it's almost Christmas, and we've got the whole nativity thing on my front lawn. That's got like a figure of Jesus. Are you telling me I need to go home and burn that thing? Make your neighbors talk. Martha, the Christians are at it again. First they're all about Jesus, now they're burning Jesus. We ain't never going to that church. The most important thing we've got to ask ourselves is, do I believe these things have special power? Do these things connect me in a special way to God? If the answer is yes, we're committing idolatry with them, giving glory and honor to something that's not of God. That moment, it becomes a good luck charm. So some of you with your little cross, if you're always fingering it, going, oh God, and it's somehow kind of, no, then I would get rid of it. It has become something that's verging on idolatry and should be discarded. So like last week, is God's Holy Spirit telling you, you need to get rid of some stuff. Do you? Something that you think you need to talk to God. Some of you, it could be a candle, but you have to light that candle or incense, and then you really sense God's presence. No, you smell incense. These things do not dispel or dispense grace. They don't connect you. They might. I get ambiance, okay? I don't pray well on my knees because I have arthritis. All right? You don't need to pray on your knees. Those of you that we don't have time for this, but it's awesome. Those of you that, I'm going to make some parents mad. You make your kids hold hands around the kitchen table. You've never seen the Bible where they held hands to pray. Never. If you want to get biblical, drop those hands. All right, now you can hold hands if you want, if it can, but I feel better. Well, you have to close your eyes. Jesus walked and talked to the Father. My best praying is out in my shop with coffee. I have to say it with eyes open, and I got to say it out loud. Or if I'm driving, I got to talk out loud. That's just, you know, so that's ambiance. I get ambiance. But if you think that little trinket connects you to Jesus more, then you need to get rid of it because it's become not just an icon but an idol. Get it? They got it.
Got it.
Good. All right. We're supposed to be looking for the carrier deck, but we're still ascending. All right, number two. Number two, when God sends revival, it spreads to them. So it starts with us, it spreads to them. In 25, Demetrius, he gathers them together. Oh, man, I tell you what. Oh, they're going to get rid of our money and our God. And they say it's not a real God, and we're going to go broke, dudes. And Paul doesn't come to form a political party or pact. The culture is being changed because the Christians are being changed. The province of Asia is a huge area, and we call it today the country of what? Turkey. So how did everybody in this region hear the gospel? It wasn't because they all came to that lecture hall where Paul was laying it out there, because you can't all fit and they can't all travel. And all these believers were coming to hear Paul, and they're like, oh my goodness. And they were trusting Christ. They were getting baptized, and their hearts were set on fire. They got a revival, and they took it back home with them. That is how it's supposed to work. That's how it's supposed to work. Here's, somebody said this, if it stays in the room, it's a renewal. I like this. But if it spills out to the streets, then it's a revival. That's a revival. First permeates the church, then seeps out into society. Why? Well, John, why? I have a hard time sharing my faith. Look at this. If you're really full of the Holy Spirit, you cannot shut him in and you cannot shut him up. You can't. He will eke out because you're full of him, right? And you have to depressurize. And he will, and you'll find yourself witnessing. You might do it the clumsy way, but he's going to be leading you because he's the one that gives you the boldness. He's the one that sets up the opportunity when you're given over to the Holy Spirit. But your closest them, talking about taking it to them, is your first ministry. What is your first ministry to? Point Harbor? Family. Question, does my family see a spiritual revive me? Or a me in need of spiritual revival? If you have kids, your kids know. You can fake it around us. Come in, you know, looking all pious, saying praise the Lord. Got Christian bumper stickers. But your home, inside your home, is a living hell. And you can keep it from us, but your kids, when they share prayer requests with Miss Nancy back there, oh, we find out lots of things. Pray for my mom. She says potty words to my daddy. My daddy's got a girlfriend. No. Some of you right now are like, what the? I just made that last one up, but. But those of you with red faces, I'm coming at you. Little kid came home from Sunday school. His parents, they'd been teaching all about what being a real Christian should look like, and Dad thought he'd fill in the blanks, you know, where teacher might have. So Dad kind of waxes eloquent, you know, after Dad came out of his main service, they're driving home, the lesson's over, and the little boy says, wow, Dad, wow, that's awesome. Have I ever met one of these Christians? Obviously not at home. Number three, we can see the flight deck. It ticks off Satan. When God sends revival, it starts with us, spreads to them, but it ticks off Satan. Revival and riots come typically in two packs. And I'm not talking to a rapper. 27. That boy needed revival. There's danger. The temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence. She whom all of Asia, you know, if it's a real God, how can you depose a real God, right? And when they heard this, they were enraged. They were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion. They rushed together into the theater, and for about how long? 2 hours. Whoops, let me go back and point it out. All right, 2 hours. They all cried out, dang it. I am Mr. IT, Techni. All right, 2 hours. Did I say that? 2 hours. They cried out with one voice, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. 2 hours. John, I don't get, man, I can't get that. Hollering the same thing for 2 hours straight. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Even those of you that go to political rallies. I've never been to one that I remember. Political rallies. And man, on both sides of the aisle, I saw it because I see some videos. And what do they holler out? USA, 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 USA. And I'm a patriot. USA. But after about 10, USA, I'm done. Love America. I'm done. Ten's good. You! So he's great. His arguments with the Ephesians for 2 hours. But bring it to Hampton Roads. If similar things happened, I don't know if you'd have some almost riots. What do you mean? Hampton Roads is known mainly for what? Mainly for what? Military, and military needs what? Shipyards. So, smart local politicians, smart state politicians, even federal politicians know, if you want to stay elected, don't support anything that is going to adversely affect the military or the shipyards, unless you want a riot. That's basically what these boys are doing. True revival impacts not only hearts, but extends to wallets. Extends to wallets, true revival. Oh man, you're going to talk about giving. Not unless you want me to. I mean, I can throw down. But it's not my notes. Here's where I'm going. I was thinking about our culture's wallets. It makes some of you mad, but that's all right. You need to be made mad, maybe. When we see real God-sent revivals, it's not just churches, you know, having more people come in, more people baptized or whatever. That's part of it, but it always affects the wallets of a lot of people who don't want their wallets affected. I'm not talking about you Christians as much as I'm talking about people that are out there in culture. Like who exactly? Real revival will affect the abortion industry. It'll affect the abortion industry. The abortion lobby doesn't just hate the pro-lifer because of their biblical position. They hate them because they cost them money. See, some of you don't get this. You just think it's a principled thing. Oh, well, they just believe in, you know, the my body, my choice, and health of the mother. Never talk about the health of the baby. Government funding, your tax dollars, last year, $633 million to the abortion industry. Almost matched by private funding, $600 million. $1.7 billion total revenue for killing babies. John, don't say killing babies. It's really called family planning. Oh, shut up. Stop it. You as a Christian ought to be ashamed that you are into the euphemisms, people of God. And I realize that some of you are here and you've had abortions, and this is very painful, and I'm sorry, and I love you. And God can forgive any sin, amen, and that is a sin. That is a sin, people of God. And here's the problem. We pastors who don't want to hurt some of the ladies who are, and some that I don't know, and some of you I do know. And so I don't want to bring it up, and I don't want to rip scabs off old wounds. But at the same time, what we do then when we tiptoe around it is we kind of euphemize it, calling it terminating a pregnancy. And it becomes a little more acceptable to the point that now some folks are bragging about their abortion, saying it was the best thing they ever did. They wish they could have more. It's killing a baby. That's what the Word of God says. We need to stop being euphemistic about sin. I had a fling. No. You got naked with somebody that wasn't your spouse and committed adultery. That's what you did. I told a fib. No, you're straight. I lied. I'm a transsexual. There is no such animal. And again, I realize some of you have family members, maybe you, and you're confused. I get that. That confusion comes from Satan, don't you see? Because God said in the beginning, I made them male and female, XY, XX, and I intentionally designed you in the womb how I want you to be. That's my will. I have a reason for making you a dude. I have a reason for making you a woman. Well, I'm a transsexual. There is no such thing. There is no person that really transitions from male to female or female to male. There's some people that chop off body parts. There's some people that take different hormones. But they're still inwardly and really a male if they were born a male, or a female if they were born a female. You might like it, not like it. You might have some family members that you have been calling them by their new name of a different sex because you're trying to love on them. That's not love when you join the lie. It's not. Oh, you're being a hater. No, you're being a hater when you agree to their lie. I'm being a lover, telling them about the love of Jesus, and this is the word of Jesus. And you will really be fulfilled once you get help for your psychosis, and it is a psychosis. Speaking of transsexual, revival will affect the transsexual industry, and that's what it is, people. Why is it being pushed so much? First, Satan's behind it. But secondly, $4.4 billion a year for sexually maiming children. $4.4 billion a year. Transgender surgery providers are said to have brought in over $100 million in 2022 from just the surgeries alone. Surgeries, and many of them are $100,000 a pop. Pharma company Pfizer, ever heard of them? Brought in $74 million for different treatments that they give through pharmaceutics. Revival will affect that. Revival will affect Hollywood. Christian, if I haven't made some of you mad here, I'm about to get two-thirds of you. If you believers, say, I love Jesus, I'm following Jesus, I'm a Christ follower. Are you? Did you follow Jesus into that theater to watch that movie? That smut? Jesus led you to that? Oh, no. You went there alone, didn't you? Except you didn't go alone. The Holy Spirit came with you. And he don't like what he's seeing. You're a prude. I'm not a prude. I like shoot 'em ups, right? I like action movies. Don't appreciate Hollywood smut. Back in the day, we've come so far. Back in the day, my dad, we'd be sitting there. We had a TV. I'm talking about a 13-inch black and white. No, we did. Half of my grown-up life, we didn't have a TV, and my dad didn't care. I'm like, oh, you got to have a TV. We got a hand-me-down TV, and we're watching a war movie. And here, it was, you know, a war movie. In 1967, okay? They ain't going to put any smut on TV. 67, sitting there watching. And this American trooper's over there in France, and this French girl, she gets a little bit, oh, oui, monsieur, woo-hoo. And they go into the bedroom, and my dad just gets up. We don't have clickers. Ain't gonna have none of that smut in my house. And I'm thinking, it's 1966. They're not gonna show anything. If they would cuss on TV, Dad just ain't gonna have that smut. I ain't gonna pay nobody to cuss me out in my house. Now, y'all, they're dropping the F-bomb in your living room every day. Huh? Come on, Christians, are we Christians or not? Amen. Are we? Do we really believe this book? Many of you know, at least parts of it, you go, la 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 la. Be ye holy, for I am holy. La 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 la. Don't let the world influence you. Why are so many of us supposed self-proclaiming Christ followers so la-di-da about financing Satan's filth? If believers would just say, I ain't going to go to it, man, that's filth, that's trash, then you know what Hollywood would do? And in little areas they are, they would quit putting out the trash because they need to make money. Even if they didn't agree with you, they want your money. Right now they're getting your money. Revival will affect politicians. Some will start to vote according to biblical values, not because they believe them. Most politicians that say they believe the Bible and they believe in family values are just trying to get your vote, people. But because they want to get reelected. So if they see there's a wave of revival and people are like, man, you know, we believe in biblical principles, they'll start believing in biblical principles. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I don't like fakeness, but I'd rather have somebody vote, you know, the way I think the Bible has, even if he doesn't really or she doesn't really mean it, than vice versa. Other politicians will pull out all the stops to cancel the church. None of them will be unaffected. So folks, this starts when God gets a hold of the church's heart. And the church starts reaching the culture's heart. And that ticks off Satan and his demons and Satan's children. And I don't know why we're surprised at it. We think, oh, everybody will love me. No, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials. What kind of trials? Fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Peter's like, dudes, Jesus told us, if they hate me, they're going to hate you if you're following me. If they like you, it tells me you're not following Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about you Christians going out and being intentionally nasty. If you do that, we need to send the deacons out to beat you down to get you right. Don't be a goober. Don't be a jerk. If you're a boss Christian, be the best Christian. right? Be a godly Christian. The Bible teaches about that. How to be an employee, how to be a boss. I'm talking about people that just hate your guts because they might not even know why. They just hate your Jesus. They hate the Holy Spirit influence in you. You're going to have that. Satan's not going to give up territory easily. In our church planting, when we're planting churches, we're already getting pushback in several of the countries, if not all three of the countries, pushback, different levels of it. That's to be expected. In your family, Satan's got a hold of your family. He's got a stronghold in your family. In your relationship with your marriage, your spouse, or with your kids or something, or grandkids, he's got a stronghold. And Satan just doesn't go, oh, you're a Christian now. Oh, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. No, he's going to fight you. Now, greater is he that's in you then, huh? He that's in the world. We've already got the victory. We need to fight from victory. Many of you don't know that. And Paul finally leaves Ephesus. We'll see that next week. But he's been here for 2+ years. And God has been building that church in the midst of the perverse and occultic society of Ephesus. And change is already happening. You know, we saw they burned all those magic things. And people start trusting Christ. There's a revival sweeping, but more change is coming. What do you mean more change? Some years later, there's the emperor, Roman emperor. And he says, you know what? He was instrumental in, his name is Theodosius. He was instrumental in pushing that the Nicene Creed that some of you were raised up in church quoting about your belief in God. The Nicene Creed, okay, we're gonna have this. This will be our creed. He has that temple of Artemis torn down. He said, no more false worship. No. Tears it down. And then what are we going to do with all that rubble, all those huge cut stones? Well, I know what we'll do. We'll use it to build church buildings. So they did. Great is Artemis, the Ephesians. No, not so great, long forgotten, zero followers. You know who's great and mighty and powerful? His name is King Jesus, amen? He's our Savior, our Lord, our Master. I hope he's yours. Point Harbor, why don't we do our best to please the real God? Praying, God, give us revival and start it with me. Start it with me. My family needs it. My workplace needs it. This city needs it. Point Harbor needs it. America needs it. Start it with me. Amen. God, we pray that you do that. Send us your Holy Spirit revival. Lord, but when you do that, you convict us of what we're doing and the things we need to get rid of. So I pray that you would, right now, be walking up and down these aisles and convicting folks. And help them to make some, like last week, Lord, heard from so many people. And all positive, I was shocked. Help them to say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to give up? What do you want me to stop? What do you want me to start? Clean up my life, Lord, my viewing habits in my home, my viewing habits in the theater. Let me realize you're with me all the time. You're not going to lead me into junk or filth. Help me to quit financing it. Whatever the decision, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will tweak us until we say, yes, sir. Because that is how we receive your blessings, your revival, and all God's people said, amen.